BMW decided paying $100,000 for a car wasn't enough, so they added subscriptions. Heated seats for $18 a month, cruise control and high beam assist paywalled. But these were already in the car, and some were even safety features. Now they were locked behind a subscription. It seemed like the perfect plan. After all, other companies were doing the same, right? Yet just 2 months later, BMW backpedaled. This is how BMW let greed ruin their image. But also, why did BMW take the fall and not everyone else? Everything is a subscription now. Your apps, your music, your movies, your phone storage, your home doorbell, your coffee machine. Even the software you need for work is locked behind the monthly payment. No more owning anything, pay for it monthly. It's the golden goose of modern business. Turn one sale into endless revenue. And to be fair, it does work. It works so well, the automotive industry watched and saw the money they could make. They sell some of the most expensive products on earth, and they thought, why should tech companies have all the fun? Which brings us to BMW. The prestigious German car brand built on quality engineering decided to try something. Take that digital playbook and stamp it onto the physical world. Turn the car itself into a subscription service. In July 2022, BMW announced Functions On Demand, and you're probably already rolling your eyes. Heated seats shipped in your car. The coils were there, the wiring done, the sensors installed, but you couldn't use them. BMW locked it behind software. To warm the seats that you just bought, you had to pay a monthly fee. $18 a month, or $180 for a year, $300 for 3 years, $415 for unlimited access, depending on your market. You'd already paid tens of thousands for the car, and sometimes over $100,000. Now, BMW was adding a subscription service, and it wasn't just seats. High beam assist, drive recorder, remote start. BMW's connected drive store turned your dashboard into an app store for features already sitting in your car. Even safety features like camera info and an automatic high beam. But for BMW, this made perfect sense. Options like heated seats are ordered on over 90% of the BMW sold in the USA. But they go on to say, BMW Functions On Demand, on the other hand, is designed to offer premium features through software upload that use data and sensors from factory option hardware already built into BMW vehicles. In truth, this was about reducing costs as much as making more money. Even just removing that 10% of cars without heated seats improves logistics, manufacturing, and overall costs. Install everything at the factory, one version of the car, simpler manufacturing, then use software to differentiate trims, and you can still price each car for each customer. Plus, this creates recurring revenue that keeps flowing years after the sale, even to second and third owners. But most of all, BMW wasn't alone. All kinds of automakers were doing the same thing. Tesla sells FSD subscriptions and acceleration boosts. Mercedes pushed a paid unlock to make their EQ models faster. GM briefly made a 3-year OnStar package mandatory. Audi, Volkswagen, Porsche all ran Functions On Demand stores. The question was whether customers would accept it, or rather, put up with it. Turns out, BMW found their answer pretty quickly. Customers understood exactly what was happening. This wasn't paying for a new service. This was paying to unlock something already installed, something they'd already bought. But there was something else too. It wasn't just about the seat warmers, but the president. There's a real fear from customers about a future of microtransaction hell, where all options are hidden behind subscription paywalls and pricing gets out of hand. This seemed like the beginning of a slippery slope. The outrage quickly spiraled out of control. Memes about the service began to spread and gained thousands of likes. Customers felt they were paying twice for their luxury cars. In fact, paying twice became the universal shorthand for the controversy, perfectly capturing the sense of betrayal felt by luxury car owners. BMW, of course, tried to defend it. They called it flexibility. They said this gives customers the possibility of adding new software-based functionality that was not initially available at the time of the original vehicle purchase. But customers saw through it. They pointed to second owners who could trial features. This functionality is particularly useful for second owners, as they now have the opportunity to add features which the original owner did not choose. Of course, that was a bad excuse. BMW spokesman said, "We know from our customers that their mobility demands are not as static as they used to be. Everyone else was doing it. BMW insisted this was just the future. They were sure this would pass and that everyone would just get used to it, but it didn't." BMW is a brand that sells premium cars. This clashed with everything the brand claimed to be. When you pay that luxury price, you expect the premium hardware to work. Gating seat warmers felt petty. The real question wasn't whether people were angry, it was whether they'd actually pay. And they didn't. We don't know the exact numbers, but we do know that the adoption of functions on demand was dismal. A board member said that, "We thought that we would provide an extra service to the customer by offering the chance to activate that later, but the user acceptance isn't that high." To make matters worse, this controversy wasn't helping BMW's image. From July to September, BMW share price had tumbled over 25%, and it saw a drop of about $20 billion in market cap. Then, on September 7th, 2023, BMW killed the program. The hardware subscriptions were gone. People feel that they paid double, which was actually not true, but perception is reality, I always say, and he's right. Even if customers had paid less long-term for their heated seats, pricing goes much deeper. It's about psychology. What they didn't account for was human emotion, which dictates a huge amount of purchase decisions. BMW promised to pivot. Future subscriptions would focus on real software services, not just flipping on a switch for built-in hardware. This was a strange, annoying part of BMW's history, but there's still one unanswered question. Why was BMW the villain when other companies are making billions from subscriptions? Same industry and mostly similar priced cars. So what did BMW get wrong? The difference between catastrophic failure and billions in revenue comes down to one thing. Does it feel like a service or does it feel like a ransom? The auto industry is still chasing subscription money. The rewards are too big to ignore. Stellantis is expecting 20 billion euros by 2030 in software-enabled product offerings and subscriptions. GM keeps telling investors that subscriptions are the future. In truth, most people aren't thrilled about subscriptions in cars. But there's a big difference between begrudgingly accepting and the outrage towards BMW. Some subscriptions seem to be more tolerable. So what? Where's the line? Let's take Tesla's premium connectivity for example. You're paying for live traffic, satellite maps, video streaming, and remote camera access. All of that runs on cellular data and servers, real ongoing costs. You're funding a service that has to stay live. They also offer full self-driving as a subscription or even buy the full thing as a one-time payment. Then there's Super Cruise and Chevy and other GM vehicles. That system needs constant HD map updates and cloud processing. GM also bundles the first 3 years, then charges monthly to keep it current, which feels more like maintenance than a subscription. So why did BMW's heated seats fail? Three simple reasons. First, customers will tolerate monthly payments only when there is a clear, visible, and continuous cost associated. Things like data plans, map updates, or cloud processing. These feel like an actual service separate from the car, at least partly. But heat warmers, this is already installed in a car. It's not powered by BMW, it's powered by you when you charge or refuel the car. The cost for BMW to deliver heat from an installed coil is close to zero. Charging $18 a month for zero marginal cost felt like pure profiteering, not BMW delivering you a service. Second, a successful software unlock should measurably boost performance or add a capability that wasn't there before. For example, Mercedes' paid acceleration increase is pretty controversial, but it undeniably makes the car faster. Finally, and most critically, don't rent out built-in hardware. If the heater coil, the sensor, or the wiring is physically installed in the car and does not require an ongoing service, it shouldn't be portrayed as software as a service. BMW's heated seat plan was just renting physical property that the customer had already paid for. It's a bit easier to digest, or maybe disguise, paying for new software than existing hardware. The moment you ask a customer to pay to use a component they already own, you're essentially demanding a ransom. BMW charged monthly for a comfort feature that was already installed. No ongoing cost, no new capability, just a paywall. Customers called it paying twice. BMW's own exec admitted they were right. The contrast hurt more because this was luxury. You paid a premium because the nice stuff is supposed to be included. To be clear, I don't think BMW is the only guilty ones. The previous examples are more tolerable than anything. But BMW was probably the most egregious example, which is why customers were so upset. Unlike BMW, this channel puts the community first. We're working towards 1 million subscribers. If you found value from our videos but haven't subscribed yet, I would really appreciate it if you did. BMW still plans on using subscriptions like Parking Assist, but these new features are more digestible. But what do you think? Are some subscriptions in cars acceptable, or should there be none? Either way, it seems like they won't be going away. But BMW's controversy is nothing compared to the disaster that Porsche has gotten themselves into. Check out this video to learn more. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.